Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. A big day. We got some breaking news out of Pennsylvania. If you missed it, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, was on the show earlier. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has reaffirmed again that these Democrat counties, no counties, can count ballots that are improper. That means ballots that aren't dated correctly, ballots that aren't filled out correctly, whatever it is, whatever little scams they're trying in the recount with McCormick and Casey, those ballots cannot be counted. Great job by Linda Kearns. Great job by the RNC. Great job suing these counties right away and getting the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to reaffirm that these ballots cannot be counted. Yet, the recount will officially begin on Wednesday and go until the 26th or 27th for the Casey McCormick recount. And it does not need to happen that way. Bob Casey cannot win. He should absolutely bow out of this thing and save the taxpayers $1 million. And Governor Shapiro, where the hell is he? Where is Governor Josh Shapiro? He is saying nothing. His silence is deafening. And these Democrats so blatant what they're trying to do. Now, I got an email earlier today. People are outraged, obviously, and they should be over what the Bucks County commissioners came out and said, how, you know, they're just going to they want to count these ballots regardless of the law. So Jean sent me a note. She said, if anyone is upset about the commissioners in Bucks County trying to change the outcome of our election, please join us this Wednesday at the courthouse. There is a meeting. And the Bucks County commissioners are meeting this coming Wednesday, and it is 10:30 a.m. at the Bucks County Administration Building, which is on East Court Street on the first floor in the meeting room. And I would suggest a strong showing to go there and let your voices be heard, how you think it's outrageous that they think they can just flout the law like this. So, yeah. But a good win, a good ruling by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And speaking of, even, you know, like John Fetterman, for example, let's cue up cut number six here. So John Fetterperson comes out. He's got to get his talking points right. He goes on with Jake Tapper and he talks about how the recount should happen, but then acknowledges that the votes aren't there anyway. Now, as I've been saying to you, Bob Casey is not footing the bill for this recount. This recount is not being paid for out of Bob Casey's money. It is being paid for by the taxpayers. So it's one thing for Bob Casey to be out there doing this money laundering operation, trying to raise money and then having to pay the bill. But he's not doing that. The taxpayers are. But even Fetterperson acknowledges the votes aren't there. McCormick's still going to be the senator. That's the bottom line. Here's what he said. Cut number six.
What's your take? What's your response to that Democratic official deliberately announcing that they're going to defy court orders and count these provisional ballots?
Well, Well, again, I'm not going to chase every kinds of quotes, things like that, because I think you just pointed out that it refers to about 115 ballots, and that's not going to have an impact on this race at this point. So what's where we are now? It's very, very close. And I guarantee you, if Dave McCormick were in the opposite situation where he was down 15 to 17,000 votes, he would absolutely want to have every last vote counted as well, too. And Bob Casey has never claimed fraud. And I think it's really interesting now, all of the Republicans and the conservative people on Twitter aren't talking about, oh, they're cheating, they're having all kinds of a thing after Trump won. No one's claiming that there's any kinds of actual cheating on our side. You know, calling and counting every vote, and that's where we're at, and that's the law. And when it's finished, and if Bob Casey comes up short, I can almost guarantee you that he's going to do the right thing and concede at that. So that's the thing. But my point, no one's making an argument that there's any kinds of cheating or thing on our side. It's like, hey, we're going to count every last vote.
Dude, you literally had the Bucks County Commissioner come out and say that they were going to count votes, ballots that the Supreme Court said they cannot count. The hell are you talking about? In four counties in Pennsylvania that we know of that all said the exact same thing. That's why the RNC had to go to court and get the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to come out and say those ballots cannot be counted, which is what just happened. So what are you talking about? Of course they're trying to steal this election. They are 100% trying to steal this election. And shame on these Democrats, because I'm so sick of the hypocrisy of these people. They scream for years about Trump being an election denier, and then they're literally denying this election. It's not about counting all the votes. They're trying to count ballots that the court has said you cannot count. Let's not confuse this. This is not about counting every ballot. They did that already, and McCormick won. This is about now trying to count ballots that the court said you can't count, thinking that maybe somehow they can either pull off a win here, or maybe they can undermine Dave McCormick, cast a shadow over his senatorship for the next 6 years. Maybe that's what they're going for. Or what I think is just really what's happening is this is just another way for the Democrats to raise money off of Casey and his name till the name goes away for good, back into the hibernation chamber for good. Because there's no other explanation for this other than that. So that's where we stand with all that. But that's the breaking news. If you missed it, Chairman Michael Whatley at 3:30 coming on the show. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court saying you can't count these ballots. Enough is enough. Oh, Fetterperson also said, you know, listen, we can't lose our mind and freak out after every tweet or every appointment that Donald Trump makes. I think, you know what it is with John Fetterman? He still is in contact with people in Pennsylvania. He hears from people all the time. And I think he always knew Trump was going to win because he talks to people. He knows he said it, how popular Trump was, how beloved Trump was in Pennsylvania. He knew it. He saw it. And that's the bottom line. I think he wants to work with Trump. I think he wants to see the illegal immigration stop. He wants to see fracking expand. And if that's the case, just like Eric Adams in New York, who clearly wants to work with Trump, good. You know what? Great. Because it's just about at this point making things better for everybody. Trump has 4 years to do that, and then he's out. He just wants to do that and accomplish that. Let that be his legacy, that he was a substantive president. He was able to make real change and undermine the deep state, the bureaucracy, the federal leviathan that is crushing this country. An unaccountable deep state of bureaucrats. That's what Trump wants to go after. And everybody should like that. Everybody should like that. Hell, even Cenk Yeager of the Young Turks put out a tweet earlier today to Elon Musk saying, I would be happy to help you cut the Pentagon. I have a master's degree from the Wharton School, and I ran a business, and I'd be more than happy to help you with that. This is a moment right now to have a president who doesn't have to worry about getting reelected, doesn't have to worry about how popular he is, and yet by doing this, doing the tough, unpopular things that people are afraid to do, he's going to end up being incredibly popular. And if he's able to achieve this, and I'm sure he is, because Trump doesn't like to lose. Elon Musk doesn't like to lose. Vivek Ramaswamy doesn't like to lose. These three guys together, plus all the other people that will be helping them with this DOGE effort, they have a chance now to redefine this country redefine this government in a big, big way. By the way, I heard during the news about Netflix, we talked about the fight on Friday. I have to say, and it hurts me, it pains me to say it, but Matt DeSantis was correct in his prediction when he said Jake Paul was going to win. I hate to say it, but you were right, DeSantis. You called it correctly.
I was 100% correct. Not only did I predict he would win, I also said that there wouldn't be a knockout, and unfortunately there wasn't, because, man, was that fight boring.
Yeah. First two rounds were good. Yeah. Now, did you watch it live on Friday night?
I did, and I regret it, because, again, nothing happened. It was just a waste of 30 minutes, basically.
I watched it Saturday morning. I was so tired Friday night. I was in bed by like 9:30. People were texting me all night. I was asleep. Like, who are you going for? So then we watched it. Patrick and I watched it Saturday morning.
Women's
had the same
fight,
approach
though.
You did. What's that?
Did you see the women's fight before that fight, though?
No, I heard that was the one to watch.
Oh, 100%.
That was very good.
Yeah. They were two women. They were actually biological women, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat the hell out of each other.
That's good. We need more of that. More of that. So Justin, we lost because we thought Tyson was going to win in the end.
Yeah, I let nostalgia blind me one more once again.
Me too. Same with me.
The camp footage I saw, everything that I saw from the Tyson camp told me, oh, he's going to turn the clock back one more time. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm finally going to get what I've been waiting for how many years that Jake Paul's been fighting, and once again, I let the hype just blind me.
Yeah, I let my Gen X nostalgia of playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out every day of my life as a kid, the anxiety of thinking about when he would come on and I'd have to fight him, that overtook my judgment. Father time comes for us all. That's all I kept thinking when Tyson was out there by like round three. I'm like, oof, father time comes for all of us, even Iron Mike.
Did you see the interview that Tyson did in the locker room before the fight, where he was walking around without pants on and the cameraman showed his bare butt? Didn't need to see that.
Yeah, nobody needed to see his assless cheeks right before his fight. Nobody needed to see that. And somebody sent that to me. Lee Pervorsky sent that to me. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why did you send it to me? You know, like, my life was better before I saw this picture. I didn't need to see this.
Like, knowing what we know about production and how things like that go on, they knew that he wasn't wearing any pants. Like, I understand the need to, like, show that interview with his son. It was a touching interview. I really liked it. But you knew he didn't have pants on, and you continued to tracking shot him as he turns around and walk away.
Yep. Yep.
It was a very sweet interview with his son until you found out that he'd conducted the interview without pants on. Then it just became weird.
Yeah. Now he's doing an interview with his son with assless cheeks hanging out there, and that's just weird. It's just weird, you know. But how about Jake Paul's $1 million boxing shorts? Can we talk about that for a moment? $1 million those shorts cost.
They had diamonds, strung up along the side.
A lot of diamonds.
Yeah, both Pauls have done. I think when Logan Paul was boxing, he would carry around, he had a $1 million Pokemon card necklace that he would wear to the ring. I think he still actually wears it when he wrestles for WWE. So they both love doing that, just opulence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, people were complaining about the I guess there was a lot of streaming and buffering when they were watching it live. I didn't have that problem watching it Saturday morning. But I guess it was a real thing. And now and you just heard in the news, Netflix is going to go ahead with their two games on Christmas Day, streaming those games. I imagine everybody's going to be watching those games on Christmas Day, because it's like anything else. It's another excuse to get away from your family. That's why God made football in the first place. I mean, let's be honest. Thanksgiving Day, there's football. I already have it planned in my head about how I'm going to be so into the game. I don't even know who's playing. But it's the Lions, right? Because they play every Thanksgiving. Isn't that the tradition?
Yeah. The Lions and the Cowboys are always two of the games, at least.
Yeah, so I don't even care, but I'm going to pretend like I'm so into these games just so I can avoid family conversations, especially post-election, since my guy won. And, you know, I might have had something to do with that in some ways. So I'm going to be so fixed on this game. And I'm going to have my son next to me the entire time. And every time he tries to get up, I'm just going to grab him by the shirt and just pull him back down. I won't be wearing assless cheeks, though, when I'm sitting there watching it with my son. But
I just looked it up. It's not even It's not Dallas and Detroit. That's Thanksgiving, Matt. They play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving.
Christmas, you have the first game is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The second game is Baltimore and Houston. So both really good games, actually, for the first time in forever.
Those are great matchups.
Yeah, those are good matchups. Thank God. Thank God. This is why, I'm telling you, this is why God made football, so that we could all get out of our family conversations. Like, oh, look, there's a game on. Who's playing? Let's go watch it. So Netflix better not mess that up. They're going to have to come up with better buffers or whatever it is they buffer with. What do they use to buffer? Whatever it is, they better buffer better.
Apparently buffer they had better. 65 million people watching the main event on Friday night. I can't imagine there's going to be that many people tuned into the NFL games, but what do I know?
Probably not.
You got to think, there's nothing going on the day before or the day after, and that day is just strictly you know where everybody's going to be. They're going to be at home, and they're going to want to watch football. I think it'll be a lot worse than Tyson and Paul. Personally, yeah, because I mean, like, on Saturday or on Friday, you know, people are out. It's late night. It's Friday night. Some people are out drinking. They're watching it at the bar. They're watching it wherever. But on a Christmas day where pretty much nothing's open and everybody's at home, you miss out on that fact of having like a bunch of people being in a bar that aren't watching it on their own personal televisions. Those people are now at home watching it on each separate account, creating more traffic. It's going to cause more buffering.
Going to be a lot of buffering. I tell you, though, there was justice for Peanut after the UFC fight the other night, because Jim Miller used his victory speech to say justice for Peanut the squirrel, and he hopes that Doge can clean up the misuse of resources. I got to tell you, I love UFC. I have loved UFC for years. It's great. It's so fun. And it really is, I mean, badass, right? So Joe Rogan interviewed Jim Miller in the ring following his UFC fight the other night. And this was a great moment. Justice for Peanut. Peanut, remember, is a squirrel who was killed, murdered, brutally murdered by Kathy Hochul's thugs in New York State. And don't forget Fred the Raccoon. He was also murdered in cold blood. Outrageous. It was a wake-up moment for a lot of people. Even our buddy Dr. Wilfred Riley on Friday said it was one of the top five reasons he voted for Trump. Because this government is just, it's too authoritarian, it's too tyrannical. Little stuff like this, it matters. I think, like I said, and I wasn't joking when I said this, Peanut the Squirrel and Fred the Raccoon were the Lexington and Concord for a lot of people in this generation. Young people that said, oh, hell no, this is enough. And if they were libertarian-leaning and they weren't sure, they voted for Trump, it was just, it was the nail in the coffin. Those two lives were given up in the name of helping Trump get elected, I'm telling you. Here's Cut 26.
It feels amazing. New York, I got one thing to say first. We need justice for Peanut, right? Like, you know, and it's not just the squirrel. It's all the kids that went hungry that night and all the other things that the money and resources could have been put to. Hopefully that Doge cleans things up down to state level.
I like how you use your post-victory speech for a political rally.
There you go. I love it. Bravo. Excellent. 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 There you go. Bravo. Justice for Peanut. Here's a montage posted by Representative Byron Donalds, B-Dog, my man. I love Byron Donalds, one of my favorite members of Congress. Make America fun again. This is a montage of people just doing the Trump YMCA dance. Football players, UFC fighters, a whole bunch of other people, young kids, college kids. He posted this the other day on X, Cut 27.
All the things that make me mad about those other guys and all the things they do wrong, the one thing that I will not forgive them for is they're trying to steal the joy from this country.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
Trump's iconic dance moves are sweeping the internet and winning him a lot of fans across the globe. Trump's dance moves were on show throughout and even after his election campaign. And it seems like everyone wants to hop on the bandwagon.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, man, cause you're in a new town. There's no need to be unhappy. Young man, there's a place you can
great. Even a Greek newscaster was doing the dance. Soccer players, football players, bunch of fraternity guys, black athletes, white athletes, Asian athletes, everybody doing that. Now, the question I have is, and I'll ask you, Matt DeSantis, since you're kind of in that all your friends are getting married thing, you know, that you like all your buddies. You've had how many weddings this year already?
Oh, man, at least four, maybe five.
Yeah. How soon until the Trump dance becomes something at a wedding where, like, they have to make a point of saying, please don't do the Trump dance at the wedding?
You know what? That sounds insane, but it almost certainly will be an actual thing. Like, I mean, I don't even like dancing, but if I had a wedding coming up in the next week or so, I would for certain bust out the Trump dance. So undoubtedly it would offend people, and I know there's got to be a bride and groom out there somewhere that are going to emphasize to their guests, do not do that dance under any circumstances. I don't want our wedding marred by it.
Listen, for a lot of white guys, myself included, I can't dance, right? So just going out there and doing this, you know what I mean, it's a big deal, right? And so every guy can now dance and dance with dignity, and they can also at the same time show their support of Trump, and all they got to do is just, I mean, it's like it's two moves. It's the most basic thing. It's just your fist just pumping out. But you know there's going to be some woke either mother-in-law, bride of the groom, or somebody who's going to come out there and be like, you can't do this at our wedding. It's too controversial. They won't even play the YMCA. Like, they'll ban, like, that song will be banned at weddings. I'm not joking. There's probably already a TikTok video of a bride going out there and saying, if anyone at my wedding dances the Trump dance, I will lose it and kick them out of the wedding. I'm sure there's probably that video out there by now. Well, here's a TikToker. Certain. What's that?
Oh, for certain. No doubt about
it. Yeah. Right? I mean, here's a woman who says she's scared to even go on a dating app because she could get matched with a Trump supporter. This is from Libs of TikTok. They posted this. Cut 28.
I'm having a delayed reaction, but I just realized that I'm too scared to use dating apps now. I want to go on it, and I just, every message and every profile just makes me think that it could be somebody. Somebody like that's emboldened by Trump. And the profile was so normal that I would never know.
Wow. First of all, nobody wants to date you anyway because you're a freaking nut job. That's number one. But number two, I think you, once again, this is classic fake crying, fake hysteria for no reason, pure fake, fugazi nonsense by people that are trying to go viral. But she's got nothing to worry about. That bat-ass crazy woman, I don't think you have to, don't lose any sleep over that, toots, all right? You're going to be just fine. Listen, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariA, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation today with my buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria at VanariaDental.com. Look, winter is on its way. Winter is coming. If you've got any water problems in your yard, that water is going to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. Water problems never get better on their own. You need to deal with it today with Lou Vargo and Garden State Earthworks. He's my buddy. He's a great guy, and he's the master of solving your water problems. He's the best there is. Now, his number is easy to remember, 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. The work is guaranteed, and he's a man of his word. A lot of people have water problems, either the foundation or getting into the basement or just standing water in the backyard, and they just hope it doesn't ever, you know, like, not worry about it. Water problems never get better, and they wind up costing you sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in damage. But you can avoid all that by having Garden State Earthworks drain the water away once and for all for good, just like they did for two different properties that I owned. That's right. Our first house that we had down here was a wet basement. Lou, I met him that day, said, I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in that basement ever again. Never did. Second time around was our new house where the backyard was standing water all the time, and he drained the water away, and our backyard is nice and dry. You don't want standing water. It brings bugs and all kinds of things. So call him today. He's super busy, but he'll make you a priority if you tell them I sent you. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots to chat about today. There's a bunch of stuff. There's revolts in blue cities over crime. In fact, in Oakland, California, the district attorney out there booted. I don't know if you saw the video of that guy yelling at the mayor of Chicago over all the illegal immigrants there. California's Bay Area kicks out liberal mayors and district attorney in a stunning vote. Ideology does not match reality. That was a big deal. Fed up voters in Oakland, California. Good. Excellent. And, you know, the mayor of Boston, I'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, is, again, openly defying sanctuary city laws and saying that they're still going to do sanctuary cities. And you know what? Democrats are on the losing side of this, just like they're on the losing side of the trans issue, just like they're on the losing side of a lot of issues. People do not want these criminals on our streets. Nobody wants this. And if Democrats really want to go down this road of defending illegal immigrant criminals, then they are going to wind up finding themselves getting booted out of office, losing. They are absolutely 100% on the wrong side of this, no doubt about it. No question about it at all. I want to mention this as well. You know, Tulsi Gabbard, my friend Tulsi Gabbard, I think she's terrific. I really do. I think she's one of the smartest minds out there. And she, like a lot of people in life, changed her views on things, you know, like Donald Trump did. I mean, Trump was a Democrat at one point. Reagan was a Democrat at one point. It's OK. And people change. What I have a problem with is people that in the absence of glaring evidence don't change. And for Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she is somebody who's going, she's literally herself now the subject of government censorship and spying as she's on the Quiet Skies program. And there was a great piece in National Review about this. I take Tulsi's record in Syria over the CIA's. Michael Brendan Dougherty writing this for National Review. And he points out, he says, you know, he says, I wonder sometimes what liberalism, the defenders of the liberal world, have in mind when it comes to Tulsi Gabbard. Appalled by radical Islam after 9/11, Gabbard volunteered to serve in the Hawaii National Guard, deploying to Iraq in 2004 and 2005 in a medical unit. She completed officer training at Alabama Military Academy, then served overseas in Kuwait. In 2020, she transferred to the U.S. Army Reserve and attained the rank of lieutenant colonel. You might think that people who claim to respect the troops so much might hesitate before calling someone with that kind of record a foreign asset or even accusing her of being a foreign agent, but you would be wrong. Since the summer, she's been given the dreaded quadruple S status by the TSA, meaning she's being tracked at excruciating expense across every flight she takes, and is subjected to a far more invasive form of search reserved for active terror suspects. This status for an Army reservist and lieutenant colonel. Even the more conventional case against her has some obvious holes, like our buddy Noah Rothman writing the following. She bought wholesale the utterly baseless line retailed by Moscow that Russia and its vassal state were the only countries committed to fighting ISIS. In contrast, she maintained the United States was helping prop up radical elements within Syria's anti-Assad rebels. The Assad regime took a hands-off approach to ISIS and even purchased its own oil from the terrorist group, while it subdued the more moderate insurgents in places like Homs and Aleppo. To my knowledge, Gabbard has not repudiated those positions. They cannot be described as anti-war, as so many of her boosters would like to claim, because she deploys them in support of war, Syria's wars, Russia's wars, and the terrorist wars, not just America's wars, he says. But as a matter of active policy and gross policy negligence, the United States was propping up radical elements with Syria's anti-Assad rebels. Our poor screening allowed fighters posing as Free Syrian Army moderate rebels to obtain U.S. weapons before promptly defecting to al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda's branch in Syria. Sometimes in desperate circumstances, our preferred Syrian proxies would give material to al-Qaeda just to survive. The incidents are well known and fueled opposition to American involvement in Syria among U.S. military personnel. When Ted Cruz warned against becoming al-Qaeda's air force, he was amplifying not an Assadist talking point, but one commonly heard among grunts in the field. Far from Gabbard having to repudiate her view of Syrian rebels, the United States government has done so. One of the U.S.-sponsored and armed rebel groups in Syria, Nuraal al-Din al-Zenki, made worldwide headlines in 2016 when they posted a video of themselves beheading a child. If we can prove that this was indeed what happened and this group was involved, it would give us pause about any assistance or, frankly, any further involvement with this group. That's what State Department spokesman Mark Toner told reporters at the time, but nothing was done. It was only after incoming President Trump was shown the same video that the government cut off its support of this group through the CIA. The Syrian conflict was plagued by similar genius brainwaves of American intelligence, and that's in air quotes, genius. By 2016, the CIA-backed Fursan al-Haq was firing U.S. weapons on the DOD-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. Perhaps most perverse of all, though, al-Nusra was persistently the beneficiary of these efforts. The legal mandate to continue these missions was the same after 9/11, which mandated a war against al-Qaeda. The mission of overthrowing the Syrian government was rather pointedly rejected by the U.S. House when it had the chance to vote on it. The same sort of disasters go on today. U.S. arms given to the U.S.-trained Iraqi army are now routinely passed off to Iranian-backed militias and used to fire on our poorly manned outposts, such as Tower 22, where three reservists were killed last year. If you can't see why someone who is so horrified by Sunni extremism against Americans that she signed up for the military and deployed to Iraq might be critical about joining a war effort in which al-Qaeda was likely to be the largest beneficiary of our efforts, you're probably the same sort of person who has been looking away from what's happening in Iraq. You probably become an expert at not seeing uncomfortable truths. That's what populism is, replacing people who have become expertly blind to corruption and perversion. Tulsi Gabbard reacted to 9/11 like a normal patriot, with a healthy hatred for al-Qaeda, and served her country honorably in uniform for 20 years. The intel agencies had more nuanced views. They think Sunni child beheaders are great allies, and they treat our own National Guardsmen as terror threats. Gabbard being nominally in charge of these freaks is poetic justice. But you're going to hear a lot about Tulsi Gabbard siding with Bashar al-Assad. You're going to hear a lot about Tulsi Gabbard siding with the Russians, siding with Putin. The same lies are going to be peddled about her up and down, up and down. The point is, though, our government was emboldening some very bad people here. And because the media loves to just take the side of whatever the Democrat administration is, that was they were just taking Obama's side. But it was Obama's CIA and Obama's Pentagon that was arming the bad guys. And Tulsi Gabbard was pointing this out, and for that, she's a traitor. You know what I mean? So the fact that she's going to be now the head of the very groups that, well, I mean, she's going to have a big role to play in all of this in terms of figuring out the extent to which the CIA, the NSA, the other three-letter and four-letter agencies are embedded around the world with some very, very bad groups, bad people who make the United States less safe. She's going to have access to all of this, which is why they are trying to do everything they possibly can to derail her confirmation. Remember, most of the time they want people in these positions who are just going to allow the status quo to go because the military-industrial complex will benefit from it and everybody will be fine. Even if the weapons end up in the hands of the bad guys who are fighting us, well, we make more weapons to give to the good guys who are fighting those bad guys. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle and it goes on and on. But there are American lives at risk here. And so Tulsi Gabbard, as the director of national intelligence, is going to be able to have access to all of that and be able to highlight it and then hopefully make some serious reforms here. Because our foreign policy has been an absolute mess in the Middle East, an absolute mess. Our policy in Ukraine is an absolute mess. You know, Joe Biden is now allowing Ukraine to have long-range missiles to go into Russia. This could escalate the war dramatically as Biden is leaving. What is going on with that? Nobody's asking those questions right now either. What is the strategy behind all this? Is it going to just escalate things before Trump becomes president? Is that the goal here of the Biden administration, is to escalate the situation with Ukraine and Russia so that Donald Trump does not have the ability to negotiate a truce? Is that what this is about? Is it the deep state, the military-industrial complex on the way out the door trying to escalate tensions even more to the point where it almost becomes impossible for the incoming administration to do something about it? I don't know, but I do know one thing, and that is that we don't ask these probing questions, for example, in things like Syria and that war that was going on about which side the United States of America was on and whether or not we were funding some very, very bad people here who would then go on to hurt Americans. Because if we do ask those questions, we're labeled as a spy, an asset, anti-American, and those labels stick. But luckily, Donald Trump doesn't care about labels like that. You know, luckily, he doesn't care because he wants the same thing that we all want, which is an end to this nonsense, an end to these endless wars, and an end to bad people getting our guns and our weapons. And the United States, the idea that we'd be putting money into the hands of Al-Qaeda terrorists, that we would be, as Senator Ted Cruz said, we would be the Air Force for these people. We'd be Al-Qaeda's Air Force, basically. Like, that's insane. So I'm happy she's going to be in there. I'm happy that a lot of these people that are just going to be so hostile to the deep state and all the various groups. I mean, take Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy, and this is why he's attacked in such a manner. This op-ed that was written over the weekend, I'm going to just share this with you real quick to show you how these people in the corporate mainstream media hate all these people to such a degree, right? Whether it's Tulsi, whether it's Bobby Kennedy, whether it's anybody. The real reason Trump picked a sex fiend, dog killer, and anti-vaxxer for his cabinet. That's said by the genius Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer. The names of Trump's insane cabinet picks aren't even what matters. America's strongman is already creating a new reality. A sex fiend is what he describes as Matt Gaetz. Dog killer as Kristi Noem. And anti-vaxxer as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. By the way, you know what the former head of the CDC, Robert Redfield, came out and said? He said, if Bobby Kennedy is willing to go in there and take a look at the current vaccine schedule for children, I think there's 17 of them, and the course of which they're given, and ask questions about that, he's more on the side of science than anybody at the CDC or the FDA at this point in time. Trump is putting people in place who are going to be disruptors. This is a moment to disrupt. This is a moment for real disruption. That's why I think Matt Gaetz is not some 3D, 4D chess game. I think Matt Gaetz is real as attorney general, because Matt Gaetz will go in there not looking to be friends with anybody and just go in there and just overturn the place and expose the people that were going after Donald Trump and other American citizens. And everybody who believes in classical liberalism should want that to happen. Anybody who thinks it's okay for there to operate this deep state that funds terrorists around the world and decides what U.S. foreign policy is when the United States Congress passes no such foreign policy mandate, or people within various deep state agencies like the DOJ or the FBI think it's perfectly okay to spy against American citizens or undermine a presidency and then there's no consequences for these people. This is a time to disrupt all this. For the FDA, the CDC, the NIH to be so intertwined with pharmaceutical executives, and for big pharma to be so entwined with like the teachers union when it comes to things like school reopening, and for the troll under the bridge, Randy Weingarten, to give school reopening guidance to the CDC. I mean, this kind of incestuous nonsense has to stop. But for the most part, most people get into these jobs and they're either too scared to go down this road because they don't want to be called names, or they have ambition. They have higher ambition, and they think that just letting the status quo go on is their best way to just move forward. You know, don't kick too many hornets' nests. And Trump is surrounding himself with people who have been kicking hornets' nests for years. And there's a reason why they're not particularly popular, because they're not afraid to kick hornets' nests in Washington. And you make a lot of enemies doing that. And you get called things like terrorist. You get called things like anti-American. You get accused of being a Russian agent, a Russian spy. You then have the TSA harass you when you try to fly in an airplane, even if you're a lieutenant colonel in the United States military. Listen, DuckDuckGo understands that we live in an age right now of hackers and scammers and people that prey on you. You are the target. You are what they want. They want your data, and they want to steal it and sell it any way they can. That's why DuckDuckGo created the ultimate privacy solution for you, a 3-in-1 product called Privacy Pro. And one of the features on there is personal identity removal. There's a lot of things about you online, your address, phone numbers, email addresses, personal data you don't want out there. And it's being sold every day. DuckDuckGo will find it and get rid of it for you. That's just one of the many features of Privacy Pro, which also includes a state-of-the-art VPN, so your data is encrypted end-to-end, so not even your internet service provider can see it. And personal information, personal identity theft restoration, if your identity is ever stolen. I mean, God forbid, that's a nightmare if your identity is ever stolen. You need to make sure that doesn't happen in the first place. But if it does, DuckDuckGo is going to be there with you every step of the way to get it back. And all that for $10 a month. Peace of mind and protection, battle armor for when you go online every day, because it really is a battle to protect yourself from all the hackers and scammers that are out there in this day and age. $10 a month, and you get a 7-day trial by going to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up today. It's a level of privacy you absolutely need in this day and age. It's why I signed up for it. Do it today. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, yeah. Firing on all cylinders today, kids. Absolutely. All cylinders today. It's good stuff. This is amazing to me, right? The whole thing about the administrative state. And this is another thing about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Everything about the administrative state was created by executive action. And it can be destroyed by executive action, too. A couple things to think about. We've talked a lot on this program over the years, a lot, over the idea that the deep state, the federal Leviathan, whatever you want to call it, was created out of two things. All right. You had Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Johnson, Obama. I mean, all these people just kept expanding executive power. But until the Supreme Court reined it all in with the Chevron ruling, which came out in the 1980s and had good intentions when it did in the 1980s, these executive agencies went bonkers. They just started making up laws and rules. And that's what they would do. They call them rules, but they were actually laws. They came with jail time. They came with civil penalties, all of these things. And now that we have the ability with Chevron to rein that in, now we need people who can actually go in there and cut the waste and get rid of the bureaucrats. See, the bureaucrats, their strategy is always, well, we'll just survive long, like roaches. We'll survive long enough to get rid of this administration. And that's the, and to their credit, they've been successful at it. 25, 30 years working at the EPA, hiding. You know, scurrying when the lights come on, but still there. And so if an EPA administrator wants to make the EPA business friendly, or the president does, they just laugh or they mock these people. You have to be able to have courageous people who will go in there and fire these people, hold them accountable, and understand the extent to which these agencies have managed to create so much power. And then you have to be willing to do something about it. Okay, that's what Musk and Ramaswamy are talking about here. Here's Vivek in his interview yesterday he did with Maria Bartiromo, Cut 31.
So first is we want to go right in through executive action to do the failures of the executive branch that need to be addressed. Because the dirty little secret right now, Maria, is the people we elect to run the government, they're not the ones who actually run the government. It's the unelected bureaucrats in the administrative state. That was created through executive action. It's going to be fixed through executive action. Think about the Supreme Court's environment over the last several years. They've held that many of those regulations are unconstitutional at a large scale. Rescind those regulations, pull those regs back, and then that gives us the industrial logic to then downsize the size of that administrative state. And the beauty of all of this is that can be achieved just through executive action without Congress. Score some early wins, and then you look at those bigger portions of the federal budget that need to be addressed one by one. So I think that's one way to think about this is how can the president of the United States, who's been elected with a historic mandate, actually do the thing that the voters have voted for? They haven't voted for incremental change here this time, Maria. We have voted for sweeping change, and the voters actually deserve to get it. And we're focused on how to do that as early and as quickly as possible.
So President-elect Trump just said on that soundbite that you're going to make recommendations. So you're going to make recommendations in terms of where to cut after all that you've just said, then what?
Look, we're not going to be cutting ribbons. We're going to be cutting costs. And so those recommendations are going to be on a real-time basis. But I do want to take a big step back and understand, for people to understand the scope of this problem. Over $500 trillion that's spent every year right now was not even authorized by Congress in the first place. The Pentagon has just failed its seventh consecutive audit, nearly $1 trillion.
Let's stop it right there.
They can't even tell you
where it goes. Think about that. Let's stop. Thank you. $7 trillion. Think about that. I mean, that's just amazing. It's inexcusable. This is the battle. This is the problem. This is what it is. This is what it is. This is the battle of our time right now, is reigning in the executive state, reigning in the deep state. This is what we have to do. And you need a guy like Vivek, and you need a guy like Elon Musk, courageous enough to do it, not afraid to challenge these powerful forces, not afraid. And knowing that they're going to make a lot of enemies, and knowing that you're going to wind up having lawsuits and fights, and that's okay. That's part of it. But this is the time for disruptors. We need disruptors. We need Tulsi Gabbard and, yeah, Matt Gaetz, too. We need disruptors. People that are not popular, people who are not looking to enhance their popularity, the people that are willing to go in there and just burn the place down. Look, for everybody who doesn't like Matt Gaetz, and I get it, I understand, he's not the most popular guy in the room. I had no problem with him going after Kevin McCarthy. And I said this at the time, and maybe you disagree with me, but I said, this is inside baseball crap. Who cares? The average person doesn't know that Kevin McCarthy was ousted as speaker. Who cares? If the guy was standing in the way of progress, get rid of him. And Gaetz had the cojones with a couple other guys to do that. I have no problem with that. This is a time for disruptors. Trump is the ultimate disruptor, and he needs people around him who are willing to disrupt as well. And if you get a bunch of people in there like he did his first term, and he acknowledges this, I mean, people that were willing to just play the game, typical hacks, whatever, we will never change. And we will have missed one of the greatest opportunities ever. We have a chance now, literally a chance, to just completely expose bureaucrats, deep state hacks, people that weaponized our government, weaponized our justice system, people that engage America in foreign conflicts, still to this day, things we may not even know about. We have a chance to shine a light on these things.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Fenaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.